The experience of working varies widely from person to person. It could mean sitting in front of a computer terminal all day, or standing on an auto assembly line, or teaching Milton to a bunch of bleary-eyed college kids. For commentator and nurse Donna D'Amico Mayer, work involves tending to hospital patients in an acute care psychiatric unit. Here's what her day is like.
It's 8:30 in the morning, and I'm doing a quick assessment of patients here on the psychiatric unit. We have a variety today. Some suicidal, some hearing voices inside their heads or from the radiators, some detoxing from alcohol, others from crack, some cutting themselves with plastic knives, some incontinent. We hear crying, sobbing, laughing, vomiting. It is not a soothing environment. It's frantic. The emergency room of the soul. We don't have much time with these patients nowadays. Insurance only approves 3 to 5 day stays. There are no cures in that time, just containment and safety for the moment. All the phones are ringing at the nurse's station. The charts are piled, ready to topple. We are tripping over each other and the mess from the new patient's belongings. These belongings have to be sorted through. Sometimes psych patients bring in all of their possessions, including, but not limited to, the family silver and sewing machines. So far today, we have had no physician tantrums, although they have commandeered all the station's available chairs and are drinking our coffee. The patients circle us here every morning as we begin our shift, trying to get our attention while we try to get organized, which is an uphill battle and generally futile. The nurses begin pouring morning medications, checking orders, plotting discharge plans with the social workers, and spending an inordinate amount of time on the phone, begging dietary for a bagel for Mr. J, rescheduling an x-ray for Mrs. S, pleading with engineering to turn the heat down, all the nurses are menopausal, asking the lab to try to draw blood again on a patient who previously cursed out the lab technician, asking housekeeping to clean up the feces left in the seclusion room, begging pharmacy to get up here pronto with more Valium, and talking to distraught family members. If it's Friday, some of us break into the Macarena. Today, I'm trying to shower an elderly lady who keeps repeating over and over again that I am not big enough for this job. She may have a point. Then I must convince a 14-year-old boy for the third day in a row to let the lab draw his blood. At one point, another nurse offers him $5 to do it. The kid looks at me and says, "She's crazy, right?" He may also have a point. Eventually, he agrees, but not before asking if we would give him $10. The answer is no. A large and imposing woman circles the nurse's station all morning, informing us that we are on her list, an ominous thought. I do a mini mental status exam on a confused elderly man, and when I ask him the year, he says, "You folks sure are forgetful. I've been telling everybody every day it's 1996. Another patient approaches me with blood gushing from her wrist. She has taken the metal off the top of a pencil and used it to cut herself. An hour is taken up with the surgical resident suturing her arm. This is the third cut she's made in a week, and we're supposed to be keeping her safe. In the meantime, I have fallen behind in charting and medications, and I will never catch up again today. Before this day ends, I will discharge a patient with shaky plans for the future. I will admit a man who believes he's Abraham Lincoln. I will find a patient smoking in the bathroom, and I will listen to an adolescent describe in vivid detail how his friends will be coming in tonight with machine guns to bust him out and run away to Canada. Well, at least by then, everyone on the day shift will be home watching ER. Amidst all the agony that I witness, I sometimes have the privilege of seeing both patients and staff display enormous courage in the face of great despair. There are moments of transcendence. Once in a discharge planning meeting, I sat with a patient so debilitated by her illness that she is unable to do the simplest tasks. She is a prisoner of her rituals and her thoughts. On this particular day, we sat with her parents, the social workers, my boss, and her doctor, trying to solve the logistics of getting her home. This became impossible because she had become fixated on the idea that, as she put it, the opposite of God was inhabiting her body. She pounded the table and begged her doctor to acknowledge that there was the possibility that she could be possessed. "You've read the Bible," she pleaded. "I know you know about God and the opposite. It could have happened to me. It's in the Bible." We all sat in pained silence. Finally, her doctor straightened up in his chair and looked over the top of his eyeglasses and in a very quiet but deliberate voice said her name a couple of times and then said, "I will say one thing and one thing only about all of this. In the Bible, as in life, God wins." I can't remember how we ended that meeting. I know nothing logistical was settled, but the patient was calmer. I carry that notion of God winning around with me as I try to reach my patients in some way each day. The days sometimes blend together, and there is rarely a sense of completion. After all, we don't get to shut off the lights and close up shop each night. I delight in the little triumphs and victories I witness. A mute patient says hi, an anorexic eats, a distraught patient sleeps through the night. I recognize the thin line that separates us, and know that in the absence of miracles and cures, that often simple human kindness goes a long way. The truth is, it is hard to see where you have made a difference. Mostly, I go home drained and lonely, hoping to get enough sleep so that I can come back again tomorrow.
Donna D'Amico-Mayer is a psychiatric nurse. She lives in Tacoma Park, Maryland.